Needless to say, there has been very much organisation that has gone into preparation for the Children's Bible Club. Things don't just happen, as I sometimes have said here. There's always organisation, and the speaker is booked. Some of the ladies have got craft ideas for the craft time during the time that the children are here. We have given out the invitations, and we were very encouraged by your attendance this past couple of weeks at the prayer meetings. I know that I wasn't here Tuesday a week ago because of my uncle's passing, but I know that it was a very good prayer meeting and that you were praying for the children. And we do appreciate all of that. And there's so much that has to be organised regarding the little gifts that they receive, and even looking forward to Sunday night, what will we give them and who'll be here and all of that. But there's something else that is very important going into that week. And in my opinion, it is vital that I prepare me and that we are prepared for the special endeavour in the church. When Paul was writing to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says to them in verse 16, "Ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." He says there in verse 18, "I will be a father to you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters." That verse shows us that all of us have being delivered. He says here, "I will dwell in them." Christian, whatever comes your way, we're always thankful that we're delivered from the wrath to come. That one day we will be with Christ, the one who saved us. And in all of our experiences here on earth, every day, good to remind ourselves that the Lord has delivered us by his free and sovereign grace. But not only are we delivered, as the people here were, we can know the Lord's daily presence, and that makes all the difference. I know that some of you, when you go out to your place of work, by the very nature of things, you're in the contact with people there, and the way they talk and their whole attitude to things can discourage you and get you down. And maybe in isolated cases, there's some things said that are particularly directed to you. And that is not something that we envy at all, and we do need to pray for each other. Not, but one thing's for sure, you can know the Lord's daily presence. Wherever you are, you can know his presence. He says here, "I will dwell in them and walk in them." When you go out tomorrow, he's with you. But more than that, we know his directions. For he says, "And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And that being the case, we're under his guidance. He is sovereign in our lives. We are committing ourselves to him. And even as regards this week, I know that some of you have had to arrange your own circumstances a little bit in order that you would be able to help here in the evenings or be involved in the bus or whatever the case might be. And also there is the delight that we find in him, because he says here, "I will be their God and they will be my people. I will be a father to you." And when you look at the father and the son or daughter relationship, you're thinking of love and care and affection and compassion and all of that. And all of that is so important for us. But in the next chapter, right away he says, "Having therefore these promises," it's all the things that I've just mentioned to you, knowing that we're delivered and we're secure and safe in Christ, knowing that we can have his presence every day, knowing that he has, through his word, guides us continually, knowing that we can delight in him, having these promises daily, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. And it was words in chapter 7 here, and similar words that really were laid upon my heart, I believe, during the week. And I thought I would come to you and share with you what I have had this week. And I've given a title to the message that is "Ready for the Task at Hand." And always this week we try to say something that will help you as we reach out to the boys and girls. And as I thought of that, what we're about to do, what the Lord has done for us, what our responsibility is in preparing me or you for the week, I thought of the laver. The laver that we read about there in Exodus chapter 40. See, the laver here and the water, or the laver was a basin that held the water. The laver and the water are types or pictures that show to us the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Now, you can read yourself in John 15, and I won't take time to turn to all the references this morning, because there are many of them that show us the importance of God's Word and being ready for the task at hand. When the Lord was speaking to his people there in John 15, he says in verse 3, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." You see the relevance of it? "Ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." And I'll just read what it says over there in Ephesians as well. Just give me a second. It's Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. And 26 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." And then he says, "That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." Now, we know that Christ is the living word, and you and I are washed in his precious blood. But as you go along in the Christian pathway day by day, we need this continual cleansing, and this laver that we have looked at this morning, read about, it has something to say to us about that, because the word that we read there, laver, that word in the original language is translated washing in the book of Titus and chapter 3. I'll read you what it says there in Titus 3 and verse 5. It speaks there about, "You've saved us," Christ has saved us, "by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." So the laver here is a word that is inextricably linked with washing and with cleaning. And of course, the Holy Spirit. Well, he's the author of the Bible. He's the author of the Word. Something's very interesting about the laver here. As you read about it here, and you read about it back in chapter 30 in the book of Exodus as well, there's no mention of its dimensions or even really of its shape. And that shows us very clearly that the work of the Holy Spirit through the Word is not limited. It's not limited. Maybe you've lost out. That's not meant to sound blunt, but maybe you've lost out along the way. Well, there's never a better time to get up and get going again than now, and to come to the Lord. And the Lord is not limited in what he's able to do through his word to speak to us. So I want to talk to you just for a few minutes this morning here about ready for the task at hand, and we're looking at the laver. I want you to notice first of all then the purpose of the labor, the purpose of the laver, it was provided for cleansing. The laver was the only article of furniture which had no covering on it. When you consider the furniture of the tabernacle there, and the laver reminding us of the word, of course that reminds us the Bible is open. It's not hidden. It's open and it's ever available for us. You know, the word of God is still a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. If you feel that you have in any way lost out with the Lord, read Psalm 119 and see the relevance there of the word, and see how important it is that for you and I every day, that the Bible is an open book, that it is not covered in the sense that it's closed all the time, but rather that it is open in order that we might benefit from it. Over, I just want to read what it says back a couple of pages there in Exodus chapter 48. It says there, 38, Exodus 38, verse 8. And he made the laver of brass, and the foot of it was brass of the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assemble at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. The women's purpose here in being where they were was to work on curtains. And these mirrors that they had were apparently very, very highly polished. And for them to give them over was important. It was something that if you looked in them, it was highly polished metal. And you looked in it, well, it didn't lie to you. Sometimes if I'm on holiday or whatever and haven't shaved for a few days, then I go and look in the mirror, well, the colour of my beard tells me that I'm not 18 anymore. And it doesn't lie anymore. And so it is, brethren and sisters, with the word of God. James, when he was writing to the people there in chapter 1, it's something very important to say to him regarding just this, regarding looking at the word of God as a mirror, something that shows us things just as they are. In chapter 1, he says there in verse 23, of course he says in verse 22, to be doers of the word, not hearers only, because if you do that, you're just deceiving yourself. And in the previous verse to that again, to lay apart all filthiness. It's all to do, as we look at it this morning, with preparation of heart. Being ready for the task, coming along knowing that we've come and we've prayed at home, we've prayed for each other that'll be involved in this work, we've organised the bus, the speaker, the food, the games, the outreach, all of that has been done, but we want to be clean vessels, that's it, as we come along and challenge that the Lord can use. And therefore this is so important that we be doers of the word. Let's read what it says, verse 23 in James 1. Says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Isn't it so easy to, as we rub shoulders with the world, just to, I'll not use the word adopt, but isn't it easy to acclimatize a bit? And to just become, for the, whatever the situation is, to become a little bit of the new normal for us. And then we take a step back someday and we think, you know, I need to look at things. I think I told you the story here before, and it bears repetition, and it's to do with this, to being a doer of the word. And it was a young lady who, years ago, and I wasn't even saved at the time, but she was. And she was one of those who was at socials and so on that we went to. And because she was quite a pretty girl, she had been encouraged to involve herself in beauty contests. She won some of those and was going on, and then was encouraged to enter something that would possibly get her into a contest to Miss Northern Ireland. And then she said one day to her friend, she said, what am I doing? She says, I shouldn't be involved in this. This is not for me as a Christian. I shouldn't be doing it. She stopped it all. Because you know about beauty contests, all that's involved there. But she realized that as a Christian, a believer, a young believer, that things needed adjustment, that something needed to be done. And that's what I need to do when I come to the Word. And we read the Word and the Lord shows us something. Remember, the Holy Spirit's the teacher. He takes the word and uses it to speak to me and say, well, Karen, you need to have a look at that. Or some of you, perhaps, you need to make an adjustment there and all of that. Well, it's very easy just to walk away and forget what manner of man you were. I used the illustration of me not shaving there and my gray beard. I can go away and go to the beach then and try and kid myself that I'm a lot younger until I start playing football with the boys. Then I realize the mirror was right. I'm not 18. But brothers and sisters, the message is very clear. The purpose of the laver was for cleansing. And God's word, as it's applied to us by the Holy Spirit, has that cleansing effect. Make no mistake, it shows us things as they are. And that's what we want. We want the word to show us We hear people in the prayer meeting praying for encouragement, but we're very encouraged myself when I hear people asking, Lord, if we need challenge, challenge us. And if we need rebuked, rebuke us. Because the word shows us things as they are. Over in the book of Nehemiah, in chapter 8 there, Ezra the scribe is doing a bit of speaking here now. And you will see here that there was need among the people, that they needed to hear the word. And I'm just going to mention various things in the chapter here. You can take it home and look at it yourself, because I wouldn't have time to do it all. If you look there in Nehemiah chapter 8, Ezra is in the pulpit, and it says in verse 5, we see here the approach. It says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. And that is where we want to be. As we're preparing to be ready for the task, open the book. And that's a really good start. And that's what he did here. He opened the book. There is the approach there, but if you look in verse 7, there is the attention. It says there in verse 7 that he caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. They wanted to know. They wanted to hear it as it was. They thought, well, this is the word of God. This is what we need to hear. And that's what I need to hear. Whether I come to a passage in my reading each day that is uplifting and simply encouraging or motivating, or I come to something which stings, I have to stand there and pay attention to the word if I want to be prepared for the task at hand. There's the approach, there's the attention that's so important. But again, in verse 8, there is the application. It says, so they read the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense. Didn't just read it and even that he applied it. Gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. I must apply the word to my heart and my situation and my life. You could look at verse 9 there and say there is the anguish. It says there, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. That's good. It's good when the word of God has an effect upon us and comes along. Remember what the apostle said long ago, him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. And when the word comes to us in such a way that it affects us, and we know that it's the word, we know we need it, and maybe we know that we need to let it operate in our lives and to be a doer of the word. And brethren, it's good not to be hard, and good to have a teachable spirit and to say, well, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me through the word in a way that will not only help me to be a benefit to others, but will help me. You can look there and say there is the appreciation of the word. It says in verse 12 that they understood all the words that were declared unto them, the sending portions and so on there. And there was great mirth. There was to be great mirth among them. So the word here, it's opened. It's having a good effect. The people's heart is ready. They're appreciating the word. But then there's action in verse 16. It says, so the people went forth. The people went forth. And the word is a prompter. And it's so good for you and I to be able to say, well, the word of God has helped me now. And maybe I've been struggling a bit or sluggish or whatever the case might be. The word has really helped me. And now I'm going to be up and doing what little I can, as we sang about earlier on. There is action there. And you know, in every situation where there's doubt and there's anxiety and there's maybe a little bit of pessimistic thinking and there's maybe a feeling and sometimes of despair, the word can always be the answer. Because look at verse 17 at the end. It says there was very great gladness. That's the answer. That is the answer. So Ezra did a great work here when he opened the book and read the law. Well, that would be wrong to say that. The Lord did a great work, because the book was opened and it was a great benefit there to the people. And I know that for some in Nehemiah's day, and for some in our day, when the word changes us, it means sacrifice. Sometimes it means severance from something that's been holding us back and hasn't been helping us at all. But you and I today, we think of being ready for the task at hand, that is the Bible week that lies before us, and we're thinking of the Word of God and the benefit it can be to us, and we think of the labor, of course. The labor's there. Key purposes for cleansing. And the Bible is always for our benefit. And how the psalmist said in Psalm 119, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And the answer is by taking heed thereto, according to thy word. So there was the purpose here of the labor, if you look at it, but there is the platform of the labor. Now, if you look back in chapter 30 of the book of Exodus, something to say to us there in verse 18, it says, thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass. The platform here of the laver, that which it stood upon, well, the word foot there, you've read it in verse 18 of chapter 30 in the book of Exodus. The word foot is from a root word which means to be established or to be firmly fixed. And this was the base, or it was the platform for the laver. Those cleansed by the word must believe the word and must stand upon the word and be motivated by the word and seek to promote the word. And as someone in the prayer meeting in Dungannon, when I was there, used to pray quite often, stand four square on the bedrock of Holy Scripture. And that is the platform. The platform of being cleansed is the word. And to be established in the word. Remember what we said? The word foot there carries the thought of being established. Oh, I don't know it all. That's for sure, and I never will. And neither do you. But we want to grow and be established and be strengthened. And we do that when we come along and we pray together and we worship together as we're doing today. And we get into God's word and we fellowship with him. Now, water, as we said, is one of the symbols that is sometimes used regarding the word of God being applied. And we're thinking here of standing upon the word. I want to draw your attention just now to over to Daniel. You know about him and the time that he was challenged to regarding whether he would obey the king or not. Daniel chapter 1. You know that he's here with his three friends now. And Daniel, of course, is a godly man. He believes what God says. He's going to stand upon it. That's his platform. And sometimes that may give you good favor. Don't forget that. The Bible says when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. It doesn't always bring you into confrontation, but sometimes it can bring you into fierce contention and confrontation. It says here in chapter 1 and verse 8, but Daniel purposed, and the word purpose simply means to be set or to strongly resolve. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. The word meat there, if you look at Psalm 73 and so on, it's a word that means dainties. The world wants you to partake of its dainties. He said he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat or dainties, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel, if you read his story here, he's standing upon what God has said regarding faithfulness to him. And he's refusing to move. And his platform is not any resentment for the king or any kind of ego trip that he's on. He's simply standing upon the word of God. Do you remember Nathan? In 2 Samuel 12, when he came to David, and he told the story of the little lamb. And David, of course, he was listening very eagerly to this story. And little did he know early on in that conversation. And of course, Nathan heard a word from the Lord. It's important to remember that. This was from the Lord, the Lord's word. Chapter 12. And Nathan, at great risk to himself, after he told David the story about the little lamb, it says David's anger was greatly kindled against the man who had taken the young man's little lamb and dressed it, and he killed it and had it for food. It says David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity." Now, at this moment in time, Nathan's at a crossroads. He can either continue to stand upon what God has said to him, or he can mellow the whole thing. And in verse 7 it says, "And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man." He was building everything up here to bring David to that position where he would see the awfulness of a sin. And Nathan, at risk to himself, possibly, stood four square upon what God had said. It says, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David." He was sent with a message. And you and I, brethren and sisters, as we go out to the boys and girls with the word this week, it's important that we are cleansed through the word ourselves. That's part of the preparation. But there is a platform of what we do. And that also is what the word says. What the word says. We love people. I told you that a lot of people are speaking to you during the week. They're out in their gardens and they're really pleasant and all. Sometimes that changes when you preach the gospel. Or they come along to a meeting and the gospel is preached. But while we must truth lovingly, as the Bible says, and preach the word in truth from a compassionate heart with a genuine concern for men and women, we still must preach the truth and stand upon what the word says. So that's what we're endeavouring to do this week, to be vessels that are cleansed and fit for the master's use, to stand upon the word. But I want you to notice something else here about this. We look in chapter 40 this time of the book of Exodus. Notice the place of the laver. It says there, "And he set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and put a roll thereon to wash therewith," or thereall. The position of the laver was this, that is between the tent and the congregation. And some of the Bible commentators that I've read agree very strongly that the placement of the laver here speaks of cleansing after the cross. That is referring to the sanctification again of God's people, because it was, you had the brazen altar and then you had the golden altar. The brazen altar where the sins were put away, the golden altar where there was worship, and midway you had this laver. You had this laver. So all I want to say when I look here at the placing of it is this, that everything I've been talking about this morning about having our hearts prepared and standing upon the word is available there for you. It's available for you and I if we will come. Do you remember in John 17 when the Lord was speaking there about his own? He says there in the verse 17, it says there, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." Maybe you want to grow this week, Christian, and look back and say, "Well, I felt weak on Monday morning or Monday evening when the meeting started, but by the end of the week, by Sunday night, I feel I'd progressed with the Lord and been strengthened and been encouraged and been devoted more and more to the word." Well, again, we're back to the word. "Sanctify them through thy word. You and I will not become stirred up by trying to work up some kind of emotion that we feel, right, I'm going to get on with it. Need to feed on the word. Get the word into our hearts, and then when it's in our hearts, it'll have our feet as well. The Lord will have our feet as well. Psalm 100, I'm going to read it this time, Psalm 119, verse 145. If you read that whole section, you will see the little section there in Psalm 119 begins with Kof, which is a word and a letter, but it means enclosure. It refers to the eye of a needle. That's the thought here, enclosure, and it talks about crying to the Lord in various places there. He's crying to be quickened in verse 149. He knows, as we do, sometimes deadness can creep in and so on. And right through that whole section, there's that desire to be enclosed in the Lord's presence. To be enclosed is the word of the letter Kof there means. It means enclosure. And constantly here you will see through in this little section, but six times in the Psalm 119, it says, my whole heart. My whole heart. See that? I cried with my whole heart. And constantly you're reading about my whole heart. It's about that sanctification. About living more and more unto God. About being enclosed in his will and in his presence more and more. And that can happen for you this week. It's not too late to give yourself to the work. And of course, in the work in general, can happen for us. Final thought here. There is the people at the laver. The people who were to use the laver makes it very plain. There in chapter 40 in Exodus. Says that it's for Moses and Aaron and their son. So those who are priests. Now you might say, well, that doesn't really affect me. Well, it really does. Because you and I are New Testament priests. And God has made us into those. And you know, the priests were those who, among all of the people, had to make sure that there was no defilement. And I want to come to the end of the message this morning by saying, you and I, and maybe I'm repeating myself a little bit, you and I are the ones, you who are saved, and those of us who have trusted the Lord does not ask you to be great. He doesn't even ask you to be popular or outstanding, but he asks you to be clean. He asks us to be clean, that the fellowship between us and him might not be marred. It's as though when we read here, and Moses and his Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet thereat when they went into the tent of the congregation, and when they came near unto the altar, they washed. There was such care there. But folks, you and I need to take care as well. And I do trust as we look forward to this week that the Lord will help us to be those channels that he can use. That we will come to his word with a ready heart, ready to deal with anything there that we know of now that would be a hindrance. To come, even in confession to him. And to commit ourselves afresh to him. And to say, Lord, not only do I want you to cleanse me, but I want you to help me to commit myself. To commit myself to standing upon what God says. Putting it into practice in my own life and promoting that as a message of my life. And there was a place where it was. The place where the laver was. This is not something you need to go home and work on for a few weeks. Start now. Start now in preparation for this week. And as I said, we are the people. We are the New Testament priests. Those that can use. Don't underestimate what God can do for you and through you. And this week together, I trust that we will not limit the Lord, but that we will prove him and that we will see him to be faithful to that which he has promised. May the Lord bless you. A few thoughts about being ready for the task at hand to all of your hearts this morning.